Rise and Climb with Anna, as I share stories of hope and healing through hardship to help you overcome the obstacles you face today. Whether you are a teen, single adult, parenting, or just simply learn best through stories, this podcast will keep you inspired to answer to the call to rise and climb to any occasion life throws at you. Enjoy.
My youngest son that we adopted, he was conceived in a rape situation. His mother was raped. And the reason she made an adoption plan was because her family felt it would be hard to always look at this child and know how the child was conceived.
All right, everybody, as you just heard, that is a little blurb preluding the interview that we are going to dive into. It's with my friend Sandy, who comes from a story of an abortion herself and her story of adoption and what she's learned and how she has taken the heartache in her life and turned it into really a public service of helping other women and families and really making a difference in this arena. So I hope that you enjoy this story as much as I have enjoyed learning from it myself. All right. Hello, everybody. We are with Sandy today. She is just such a beautiful soul. I actually met Sandy on a missions trip and way back. So we've known each other for a few years now at this point, probably over 10. But really just capturing your story of, and I'll let Sandy explain that, but we're going to be talking about abortion, especially right now with the reversal of Roe v. Wade and the decision going back to the states. There's a lot of feelings around it. And actually Sandy helps run a ministry. She's taken a break now because she's recently gotten married and stuff, and she's taken some time off, but to help women process through abortions who are thinking about it and because of her own story. So I'll let Sandy explain some of that. But Sandy, you and I this morning talked today, and we really got down to the heart of what our heart is with this topic. And it really came. And so I would just like to hear from you and what you really want people to know and kind of what we were talking about earlier today and our why behind sharing the story.
Okay. I just reach out to women who are in a crisis situation or they contact me and they're looking for answers. And right now with the change of the Roe versus Wade, there's been a lot of communication once again from pro-choice, from pro to people who want to see this reversed again. And so I've been just talking with them a little bit and just conversing with them to find out their stance and why they have the choice or desires that they have, just to learn from their point of view. For me, I am very pro-life. I want to protect life at all levels. I just want to get a heartbeat for where they're at so I can maybe share my point of view as well, not to convince them that I'm right, but just to converse and try to explore it so everybody can learn from each other and really make wise decisions with the truth and knowledge that is out there today. So,
yeah. And some of the things we talked about too was your heart is not just for women who are contemplating abortions. Your heart is for also helping Christians understand the complexities,
right,
what is helpful and what can be a little more harmful than other things. So
right,
what, Christians who are pro-life, what is your thoughts about that and what we can do?
Okay. Well, I'm excited that it was changed back because that's been a prayer for a long time for me. But with this change now, we as Christians need to step up and come alongside these women that are in a situation where maybe they don't have the finances or they don't have the means to raise a baby. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they're just don't have a place to live or whatever. And so we as Christians can come alongside them to either help them financially with help for getting either supplying money needs or supplies or directing them to agencies that can help them. There's many out there. Or we can even help this woman make a decision to maybe to parent her child, and we can come alongside her to help babysit or give her time of rest, a respite, and maybe even help look at adoption or foster care or different ways, situations where we can help that girl, that young lady, to make a decision that is right for her and for giving her child life. There are many resources out there. So we need to help educate them and educate ourselves, so when we come across somebody that we can direct them. Yeah. And it's so needful for us to open our doors to these women and the young men as well, because a lot of them are being pushed aside as well. You know, and it's not taking their choice away. It's just helping to redirect us to the states now, so that we can make decisions that can help everybody and to protect those lives.
So. Yeah, and I'll share a few of the resources in the footnotes of places to start. We have a local pregnancy center in our area, but there are many pregnancy centers all over the world. But something else Sandy and I were talking about was that even though people label this pro-abortion as pro-choice, a lot of times the people getting an abortion, it's due to them actually not feeling like there is a choice. Can you speak to that, Sandy?
Yeah, sometimes they are in a situation where they feel like they're caught in a place where that's the only choice they have. Maybe it's their parents have said, you know, if you're pregnant, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're in school. Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe they are being pressured by the young man who's the father to get rid of the baby because he doesn't want a child at this point, or they're thinking of going on to college and that doesn't fit the picture right now, or they're making a choice that they've been told that there's not a baby there yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't realize that child is a baby already from conception, and technology and science has proven that. And there is a child that is developing. So I consider that life, and we need to protect that. Mm-hmm. But so many times they are just being pushed by Planned Parenthood or agencies that they've talked to that said, this is the only choice you have. Mm-hmm. That, you know, maybe when I was pregnant, I was told I was too young to carry a child and I was underweight and I would never be able to carry a child to pregnancy, which was totally false. Mm-hmm. So there's many untruths out there, and there's many people who are pushing these young women to make choices. Even people who are Christians, they're picketing the abortion sites and yelling at these women and making them feel shameful or whatever, and that's not the way to reach out to them. You need to reach out to them in love and hear their story and where they're at, because you don't know what they're walking through right now, why they're there, and what is the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I know we had talked about this, but my husband and I say, I've always said, if I have enough time to pick it, I have enough time to go get a job and make money to support a single woman. That's been my stance. Yeah. Because that would actually help change that woman in that future's life. Definitely.
Sure. I've taken young women in that maybe didn't have a car, and I've had them stay at my house where I've taken them to their prenatal visits the first few months until they got on their feet or found a place to go. You know, maybe the parents had asked them to leave the home and they had nowhere to go. So I have taken women in and helped them through some of that. Mm. I don't always have the finances, but I can direct them to agencies that we can get help and come alongside her that her needs are met, you know, with sometimes free health services and, you know, clothing for the babies, you know, their needs once they're born, diapers, you know, everything that they might need, formula, all those different things. So there are places out there that are willing to help, and sometimes you just don't know where to go. So we need, as Christians, need to help direct them.
Yeah, I think I have heard that most women, the difference between an abortion or not an abortion is just knowing where they can get diapers or something like that. It's typically a very small thing, but to that woman at the time, it feels like the weight of the world. And it's just helping them and connecting them to a woman who went to school and college with the baby and how she did it. Yeah, it's just it. I think we underestimate the power of a small act. So I want to dig into your story, because you're not coming from a judgmental place. You are coming from a place where you have walked through this. So Sandy, can you start from where you feel the best spot in your story begins to explain your situation and what led you to an abortion for yourself?
Sure. I had gotten pregnant when I was 16. I know exactly when it happened because I was together with my boyfriend just one time. It was on my birthday, December 1st. Mm-hmm. And we had gone too far. And about 3 months later, I found out that I was pregnant. Didn't even realize it. And so we were scared because we had not planned this, of course. And my boyfriend was all ready to say he would marry me, all that kind of stuff. But we felt, I was 16 and he was going to go on to college. I was going to go on college. And we felt the best thing was to maybe give life to the baby and then make an adoption plan. So we had sought out Planned Parenthood because we thought Planned Parent was a place where they would help you to plan to be a parent. Mm-hmm. And so we had gotten there, and because of my age and my weight and all that stuff, they said that I would need to have abortions. I wouldn't be able to carry this baby. I wouldn't be emotionally strong enough. I would, all these different things. And because I was underage, I needed my parents' signature. So I had gone home and was going to tell my parents. At the time, my parents were separated, going through a divorce. And I felt my first person to go to was my mom, because she had had me out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. And she had kind of held that against me all my life because I was the reason she had to get married. So getting married isn't always the answer. So I had gone to her because I didn't think I would get judgment, but she told me, you know, don't make the same mistake I did, you know, get an abortion, be done with this, get done with your life, all this stuff. So I went home crying, and my dad met me at the door, and I went to my room, and he followed me and goes, "What's wrong?" And I couldn't tell him. Like, I felt like I didn't want to break his heart. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "You're in trouble, aren't you?" And I says, "Yeah." He says, "Well," slammed the door, walked out. "How could you do this to me?" Came back in later and says, "Well, what are we going to do?" And I said, "Well, my boyfriend and I are going to make a plan to have the baby and then look at it, placing the baby for adoption plan." And he goes, "Well, no, you're not." He says, "We can't do that." He said that if the authorities find out that you're pregnant, I'm going to be as an unfit father, and they're going to take you and your brother away from me, going mm-hmm. through this divorce and all this stuff. So he says, "No, you're going to get an abortion." Mm. And I stood my ground for 4.5 months. And at 4.5 months, my dad says, "Well, if you're going to keep this baby, we're going to go get prenatal care." And so he took me to Madison, which happened to be an abortion appointment. And I had to go through the abortion because I was 16 and I didn't have a right to say anything, because I was underage. And it was the worst experience of my life. I still remember the sterile room. I still remember being counseled a little bit. They got us all in the room, all girls, and said, "You know, here, if you're ever going to have to get pregnant again, here's condoms, here's this, here's that," but no counsel as far as what was coming down the road. And so basically what they do is they inject me with a saline solution, which causes the baby to go into convulsions, and it kills the baby, and then you deliver the baby like a normal term baby. And I remember the words they told me was, you know, "When you start having cramps, don't sit up, ring the bell, because then we'll come in with a pan and we'll take the baby, or we'll take the tissue away," is what they say. They don't call it a baby at that time. And I just cried. I cried because when my baby was born, it was 4.5 months. And I know people who have had lost miscarriages at 4.5 months, and they have gone on to save the baby. Mm-hmm. And that baby has lived. Mm-hmm. So making my story short, I came home and didn't talk about it for 8 years until I finally went to a prayer meeting, and I found out that I didn't cause the worst sin in the world. Maybe I let my parents down, and yes, I did get pregnant out of wedlock, and it is a sin, but to me, I feel like I made the greatest mistake, that God didn't want me, my parents didn't want me, but I heard a forgiveness story that God died for me. and my sin is forgiven. And, you know, I chose to accept Christ that night, and ever since then, I've had the compassion to want to help other women that are in that situation, to come alongside them and to educate them and tell them what abortion really is. I have gone on once I got married. A year later, after I became a Christian, I got married and I told my husband everything before we had gotten married, what my past was. And, you know, he said, well, if God forgave you, how can I not forgive you? Mm-hmm. And we went on to get married. And for the first 10 years, I went through 10 miscarriages. I never got past the 4.5 month mark. So during this time, I also went into high schools. I went into churches and I spoke. I shared my story and kind of counteracted when Planned Parenthood came in and talked about sexual protection measures. I would share about, instead of abortion, that there are adoption options and that there are other ways. And I've gone on to adopt 2 young ladies' babies as my own. And I have 2 beautiful boys today that are now 28 and 25. And I can't imagine them not in my life. And I've also come alongside a lot of women who had scheduled abortions and then chose to give their baby life. And a lot of their children are now the same ages. And I have become very close friends with those women all through their lives. And they tell me today that they are so glad that they didn't take their baby's lives, that they have their daughter and son with them today, and the blessing that they are. Mm-hmm. So they always will share, you know, it's not an easy road being a single parent. But my husband also died at age 47, so I raised my 2 boys from 7 and 10 myself until just recently I got married again. And so I was 18 years. I did it on my own, along with the Lord's help and a lot of friends. So if we as Christians can come along other women and stand with them during these hard times, help them give their child life, help to support them, be a friend, you know, be an extra a hand to help, you know, give them a break, a night out or something that they can go and just let their children be with somebody safe and that they can have a little respite. That helps these women in a great way, a mighty way to see themselves getting through this and going on to raise their child. And making an adoption plan is not the worst. I think it's a beautiful, lovely way, loving way to make a plan for a child to have a family, a father and a mother to raise that child. And with the open adoptions today, I have the option of being able to stay in contact with my birth moms and my boys. And it's just another person to love on your children. And I'm so glad to have the extended family. So it really is a blessing in so many ways. It's a very loving choice. And I've met a lot of women who have gone through with the abortion. And today they're still grieving 10, 12, 15 years later, that void that's within them, because we are created as women to nurture and carry that child. And when that child is taken from us, it is a loss. Mm-hmm. And until they go through a period of grieving that child, they're never going to get the healing that they need to move on. So that's part of what I do with the Bible studies that we offer for these young ladies who have been through in a post-abortion situation and facing the trauma of that, and helping them to get a right relationship with their family, with God, with themselves, and also finding peace with their children. Who are now in heaven, and one day they'll see those children again. So it's a lot of better situations, better choices than the abortion. It's not the only one out there. And when you look at all the options, there are many, many, many choices besides that. So
I recently heard this week of a story where a woman unfortunately was raped and led to a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And to this day, the woman is, and so she chose abortion. And to this day, the woman is very scarred, doesn't want to have any other kids. still hurting and that sort of thing. And I know so many people have so much compassion for the very difficult situations of rape, incest, and that's a very confusing category. Right. Can you, do you have any insight on that and to help us as Christians speak to it, wrap our mind around it? Do you have any thoughts?
My youngest son that we adopted, he was conceived in a rape situation. His mother was raped. And the reason she made an adoption plan was because her family felt it would be hard to always look at this child and know how the child was conceived. Mm-hmm. But when I talk with the mom, when I talk with my birth mom of my son, she has gone through many years of counseling too to work through this. And part of that child is you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the act that happened. Mm-hmm. It's not just the bird's father. It is part of you as well. And I believe God opened the womb. Even in a traumatic situation, he allowed that child to have life because there was a bigger plan ahead. And when my son was, let's see, he was 7 years old, we had gone to Mexico on a mission trip. And he knows his story at that time. He knows how he was conceived. He knows what had happened with his birth mom, and he still sees his birth mom today. Mm-hmm. And he had gotten up in front of a whole town of children who didn't have their mom and dad living with them in Mexico for different reasons. And at 7 years old, he had the wisdom to tell them, I don't have my dad with me anymore. He died. But I have a mom who loves me, and I have a birth mom who gave me life, and I have a father in heaven who loves me. And so you are never alone. You always have your Father in heaven who will take care of you and watch over you and has a plan for your life to give you a future and a hope. And if we, as other people who know these people and the young children without parents, that we come alongside them and love on them and care for them, they can experience that love as well and to go on to become beautiful citizens and people who can reach out to others with their story. Because our stories are our story, and God allows our stories to help others as well. And I think everybody's story is beautiful, and you should make your story a best-selling one.
You know? Wow. That is powerful. He obviously was able to share that, but can you speak to how you talked to your kids about their situation, any wisdom on that? Because I'm sure that's what a lot of people are feeling like. How do I explain this to a kid?
Yeah.
A heavy, heavy topic for adults, let alone kids. So can you share with us?
It is.
What happened?
It is. I think each situation you have to look at individually. Mm-hmm. You have to take into account the age of the child that's being spoken to. I mean, naturally, you'd only want to tell them what they can understand at the age that they are. Mm-hmm. There was a very violent act that happened, and how you share this with them is, it has to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that they are shown love and told that they are not a mistake, that there is a plan for their lives. It didn't, their birth didn't happen in the way that was planned, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make that a mistake, and that they are loved and cared for, and that whether they're in their birth mother's home or they're in a foster situation or adoption situation, that they will feel that love for them and that they have value and that they have a purpose. Mm-hmm. So I know with my son, I told him his story. I don't know word for word right now, but we had many, many talks. It wasn't just one time you sit down and you spill everything. Mm-hmm. You know, as they start asking questions, you share, you know, what, mm-hmm. you know, how come I don't look like my brother? And then you share about, well, you have a adoption plan. And from little on, we told them that they had a birth date that they were born, and they had a birth date that we called their gotcha day, the day that we brought them home, that we adopted them. And so we celebrated both days because to us that was a celebration and God's blessing on their life, and that their birth moms are still in their life, that they have that family also to love on them. And naturally, the birth father in this case is not in contact with us because of the situation. Mm-hmm. But he has gone out of the picture. And for a while, I did write through the adoption agency to the birth father to let him know that his son was thriving and developing healthy and mm-hmm. different things. We had talked that we would do that till age 18, but with his birth mom, we're still in contact. We still have visits. They come to my wedding. We go to her wedding. We've gone to baptisms. We've gone to celebrations, sporting events for the children, everything. So little by little, his story unfolds, and that's how we share, you know. Having contact with the birth mom as well, it lets him see her side of the story, that she didn't give up on him, that she did not want him. She wanted just something better for him that she couldn't offer at that time. She wasn't married. She didn't have the finances, you know, that she wanted to make a better plan. It's not giving up a child. It's making a plan for that child.
Yeah.
So many times I hear people saying, oh, you adopted your child out. You gave your child up. And it's like, no, they didn't give their child up. They made a plan for their child. Yeah. To have more than what they could offer at that time. So it's a loving, loving, wonderful way to make a plan for someone that isn't able to maybe financially or come alongside that child because of due to age or circumstances that are out of their control. Also, just with that, too, I just want to say making a plan, too, when you go through something traumatic like this, there is a grieving process when you do make an adoption plan, because naturally you are given your parental rights up, mm-hmm. and there's a grieving process. So there is counseling when you go through an adoption agency. They will offer counseling for the birth mom and the birth families and the adoptive families, and take advantage of that, because that really does help. Also, anybody who has gone through a traumatic situation, whether it's a pregnancy or some other trial within life, and they need to get help, whether it's counseling or talking with somebody, that's not a flaw in them. It's a time that they do need to reach out for someone else to come alongside them. And counseling is okay. That's a call for someone to come alongside them and help to speak wisdom and help to get another insight into their life that might speak a truth or an understanding that they can't see right now because there's so much pain or grief or what emotions are within them that they cannot function until they have somebody else come alongside them and help see that. And sometimes just talking about it and working through it and help bring understanding gives them a whole new view on life, and that they can pick up and they can move on from there and find joy once again in whatever situation they were faced with.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's true in any situation where there's grief, you know, so especially in this, when there's so much shame and darkness surrounding that. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to a little bit about, I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions out there with what Planned Parenthood is and what it isn't. I have heard of people going there and having great appointments for some stuff. So there mm-hmm. is some things that have helped the communities, but there's a lot of darkness around it as well that's not talked about. I know your experience, and I know that you've helped a lot of other women. Is there anything that's helpful for us to know or understand about the organization, and so that we can better offer the information to people to really help empower their choice?
Yeah. I don't want to sound all negative, because they do some good things. I mean, they do help women with infertility, or some services to help with conception and, you know, planning to start a family when they're ready, those type of mm-hmm. things. But a great percentage of Planned Parenthood, even though they denied it, it is abortion. And it's a moneymaker, and it's a a service that women that come in at that point, they're under a lot of emotions and a lot of, they're afraid, they're ashamed, they're fearful, they may not have the expenses. Sometimes they're forced into going because their partner doesn't want the baby and is forcing her to go there to get rid of a baby because otherwise I'm leaving. There's so many different situations. So a lot of times when women have gone in, the stories I've heard with the people I've counseled has not been good, that they have been told half-truths, that they have been told false lies. They're told that abortion will not hurt them, that the abortion is not killing a child. It's just a clump of cells until 4 or 5 months out, which really at that point, the heart is beating. They feel pain. They have a spinal cord. They have hands. They have fingers. They have fingerprints. There is a child there, but there's ultrasounds out there today that they could actually see their babies moving within their womb. And once a mother sees that baby and realizes there's life, very rarely do they choose abortion. There are people who have worked in Planned Parenthood and now on the outside of Planned Parenthood and have spoken against what goes on in there behind the closed doors. I have a good friend who went for an abortion. She had twins, and one baby was aborted and the other one survived. And later on, that child was born, but he didn't have any hearing because of the loud sounds of the vacuums at the time of the abortion. But she raised her son and has gone on to speak and share her story. There's been children who have been aborted and then survived and are alive today telling their stories.
You know, that reminds me of a story my friend had said, I believe it's her cousin. And they were told the whole time, you know, your baby, you should just abort it, you know, medical issues and all that. And the mom said, no, I will absolutely not. And she delivered her baby, and the baby was born not breathing for something like 8 minutes. And because in the womb, they have imaging where the baby only has half of a brain. They right. have the actual imaging. They're told the baby, and so the baby was born, and the mom was just holding on the baby after the baby was born. It was on her chest, and like she wasn't ready to let the baby go. And all of a sudden, the baby started breathing. The baby should have been absolutely brain dead. But Sandy, you would not believe this, except unless you believe in a God. Completely yeah. full brain. There's is nothing but a miracle. And so everybody calls him the miracle baby, you know? And so I know we know there's so much hurt from medical stuff, the fear of stillborns, the ache and pain of losing a baby. Yes. You know, you know, the effect of rape and what that has to do when it leads to a pregnancy. And I think that's my heart, is getting this message out that life is painful. Life is messy sometimes, no matter what we choose, but, right. But I know there's still miracles. The doctors can still be yeah. wrong. Women are way more powerful than they think. When anybody says mm-hmm. this'll be too hard for you, that's a lie. And instead, you know, we need to be empowering each other to say, you can do this. You can do hard things, but also yeah. need to step up and say, we will help. Like, people need to help. Christians need to stand up. You know, it's really a big pet peeve of mine if people just say they're for it, but don't do anything for it.
My nephew right now is expecting a baby in October. And they just found out about a week and a half ago with ultrasound that the baby's right arm never formed. So the baby will be formed without a right arm at birth. And my nephew is so sad because they waited to get married. They dated for 10 years because of the situation, and they finally got married, and they're both in their late 30s, and so they wanted to get a child and raise a family, and now this comes. But what's neat is that, okay, this child may not have a right arm, so he'll be a lefty. Yeah. And my nephew is a sports fan from football to baseball to soccer to any kind of sports. He's a teacher. Both the mom and dad are teachers. They're educated. They love sports. And, of course, they're having a little boy, so they're all excited and looking forward to raising this young boy. But they're going through a grieving process right now, but yet they are believers, and they know that God is going to use us for his glory. I can just see this little boy growing up with a dad who loves sports, and he's going to get a prosthetic. And these prosthetics today, they can actually feel hot and cold. They can feel wet. They can function like a real arm. Yeah. So I can see this little boy growing up, being in the United States Olympics, and going forward and being an inspiration for everybody out there. I can do this with one arm. I believe all children that are lost are going to heaven. Whether it's miscarriage or stillbirth or an abortion, those children are in heaven. So one day I'm going to have a lap full between my 10 miscarriages and my abortion. And what's cool is I always wanted 12 kids. So
what?
Yeah. Wow. So I got my 2 adopted, my 10 miscarried, and I have the one that was aborted. So I actually have 13. Mm. Isn't that good?
no kidding. And one last thing on that is, you know, you and I did talk, and that is the other thing of there are risks to abortions, right?
Yes.
And you talk about that you do believe that the abortion is linked to your 10 miscarriage. Can you speak to that a little more?
Yeah. Through the time I had my miscarriage was exactly at 4.5 months. It was April 15th, 1983. And what's cool is I came to the Lord on April 15th, 84. So he redeemed that day. every time I had gotten pregnant, I never got past 4.5 months. And I believe that is part of, you know, that we had ended that pregnancy at that time. And, there's facts that show that women who have had one or more abortions, it does affect future pregnancies. I also, with my miscarriages, I had to have some D&Cs done because I would lose the child, and then I wouldn't be able to pass the placenta, and I would have to go in and use a medication that helps to pass the placenta then, and sometimes we have to go in and do a D&C. So I believe that all comprised part of the problems I had with miscarriage. And what was interesting too is God used that part of my story too, is that when I had started having miscarriages and going through infertility treatment, we were sent to Chicago and later sent to Madison because of my husband's insurance changed. And it happened the doctor I got in Madison was the same doctor who had done my abortion years ago. And I didn't know at the time when I first met him why I didn't feel comfortable with him. But as I got my transcripts sent to me from the previous doctor and all my health transferred along with the abortion, I found out that was when I had a little boy that was aborted. It was a little boy. And the doctor's name and the date, and it was the same doctor who was trying to help me with infertility. So I asked to change doctors, and I did go back to that doctor and had a meeting with him and asked him, you know, how is it that you can go into one room and counsel with a couple to try to help them conceive, and you go into another room and you take a life that you kill a child? And his answer was, I'm doing a woman's service. And if that's all you have to ask, he may go. And so I have prayed for him and prayed for him ever since. I don't know where he's at today. But, you know, those doctors take oaths to uphold life. And to to do that in one retrospect, to help somebody gain a child and then go to another room and have an abortion, I can't see how they can live with themselves. That has got to be a conflict within their own hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, and because they know the doctor that is a life. They're not doing a woman a service. I mean, they may be helping them get out of a situation that they feel uncomfortable at the point, but they don't tell them all that they're going to be faced with down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a high rate of pregnancy loss. There's a high rate of breast cancer with abortion women. There's a high rate of perforations of the uterus, and they can never conceive later on and carry a child. You don't hear about those things. They don't tell you about those things. Mm-hmm. But that is frequent.
Yep.
There are cases where women have died on the table. Mm-hmm. You know, when I had my first miscarriage at 4.5 months, I had it out of state, and I started hemorrhaging. So I went to the ER, and it just happened to be a Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend in September. Yeah. We had just gone home to tell my husband's parents that we were pregnant, and we were 4.5 months pregnant. And I started miscarrying. And when the doctor came into the ER and I had told him that my history involved an abortion, he swore at me and told me that I'm taking up his precious vacation time because I chose an abortion, and now I'm having troubles, and now he's supposed to help me get through this. And I was shamed beyond belief. So I know that a lot of women feel shame that when later on they have to go and they have to report that as part of their medical history. Some doctors are understanding and some doctors are not. So I guess what I have always told the ladies is that, you know, get a feel for who you're talking with, because you don't deserve that. And you know, that should not be a judgment on the doctor's part. And they take an oath to help no matter what. But you got to find good health care, and you got to find the right person to help you with your care. Because there are some consequences after following an abortion history. There are women out there who have had more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And naturally, the risk gets higher as the more that they have experienced. They really do have to find a doctor who is understanding and can help them and not shame them because of their past. Yeah. We all have made mistakes in our life, and you know, hopefully we learn from them and we move on and not make the same mistakes. But we also have to have a compassionate heart towards others and know that we are not perfect, they are not perfect, and hopefully they're making better choices today. And if we can help them do that, we should.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the education thing again.
Yep. And getting in touch with our own, it's like you said, we've all made mistakes. And what's actually helped us grow through it is that grace and compassion. And
one other thing is when you're in public and you're talking, you don't know who else is listening to a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gone to many a gynecologist's office sitting waiting because I was going through another miscarriage. And I can remember at one point I was sitting there, and a mom and I believe it was a friend that was with her or whatever, a sister or somebody came with her, and she was carrying twins, and she already had 3 children at home. And she was like, I can't believe I'm having twins. Oh, I hate this. I can't. And I'm just going, I would take your twins in a minute. You know, and I'm sitting across from her knowing that my baby had died and I was going through another miscarriage. The other thing too is when you speak about abortion, you know, people hear things in conversation, and when you speak in judgment, you don't know. They say 2 in every 5 women have probably had an abortion. And that kind of number, you don't know who you're talking to. And when you come in judgment and you speak about abortion as how can women do that? You don't know their story. You don't know their circumstances. I don't agree with abortion, but you don't know their story. And when you make a judgment, you just shut that woman out to ever opening up and ever coming to you for guidance or help. And so be careful with your words when you speak in public, because the words you say could really be damaging to the person that might be in earshot, you know, that they just need to have somebody say, it's okay, you're forgiven. You know, God forgave you. You can move on from here. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a future ahead. You didn't commit the worst sin in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yep. They just shower. Well, they should know the truth, and the truth will set them free. That's what that
means. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, Sandy, thank you so much for your time, your story. It brings back all of the feelings and those, and just wanting to wrap my arms around those babies and those moms and the fathers who didn't, you know, want it to be done. And like you mm-hmm. said, just knowing that there is help out there, there's counseling, there's grief, no matter what, grief counseling, no matter what point you're at in your journey. And so I'll put those in the show notes. And if they have any questions, they can reach out to me. Thank you so much, Sandy.
You're welcome, Anna. And thank you for your caring heart. And you have a blessed day. And if there's anything I can help with in any way, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help other women and people down the road. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant to the times content. God bless.